Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parker Podcast, where you can receive the latest news, campus happenings, and admissions information. In the spirit of the season, the holiday season, we thought we could introduce you all to community engagement here at Parker. And to start today off, I have the pleasure of welcoming Senior Emily Park, who has been leading an awesome service project this last month. So thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. I'm excited about it.
So Emily, tell us a little bit about the service project you've been heading on our two campuses.
Well, for the past week or two, I've been collecting books for Reach Out and Read San Diego, which is a wonderful organization that distributes books to pediatricians' offices in the county. And they are just wonderful people who are very devoted to raising the literacy rates and helping kids learn to love to read.
So that drive, I mean, it's still been happening through this week. When did it start?
It started on December 3rd, and it was originally going to end on the 7th, but people just kept bringing books, which is wonderful.
How many books have you gotten so far?
So far, I've counted 1,100.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
And it's for a certain age group, right?
Yes, we collect books for ages 6 months to 5 years, but we also welcome small chapter books and other children's books that might be appropriate for the waiting room.
That's incredible. So it seems like you have a real passion for literacy. Are there any other organizations or clubs that you're involved in on campus that kind of mirror that interest?
A couple years ago, I started a club called the Literacy League Book Club, and it runs at the Claremont Library the last Tuesday of every month. And so we meet, we talk about a book, we have snacks and play games, and it's actually a lot of fun. I've learned a lot from the kids, and it's been great.
That's amazing. And, you know, you're so involved in community engagement here on campus. What is it about Parker that helps students really become excited and engaged in their communities?
Well, Parker has a great support system for the community engagement program. They have wonderful resources and guidelines, lots of connections in the community, and then the requirement for all 4 years really gives kids time to find their passion projects, which is wonderful.
I love that so much. And where do you see, I mean, you're a senior this year. Do you hope to kind of take some of these passions with you as you go to college?
Most definitely. I look forward to participating in the library programs wherever I am. I grew up on them, so I feel like it would be really cool to continue that.
Well, Emily, I know that this has been a really big undertaking, but 1,100 books is something you should be very proud of. So thank you again for talking with us today, and I hope you have a really relaxing winter break.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parker Podcast. This week's episode revolves around the theme of the season of service, and we would be absolutely remiss if we didn't introduce our listeners to the incredible Kevin Dunn, who is our Director of Community Engagement at Parker. So thank you so much for joining us, Kevin.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
So one thing I really love about Parker in particular is our continued involvement in creating character education programming across all three divisions. I feel like the opportunities we provide both inside and outside the classroom helps empower our students to get to know themselves better and then become passionate advocates for local and global communities. And I've been reading a really interesting book from our archives, and I found an excerpt that really stuck with me. It's a quote from one of Parker's early principals, Ethel Mincer. And she said, "The value of a school should be measured by the growth of its students in honesty, courage, helpfulness, unselfishness, kindness, wisdom, and strength." And she wrote this in 1929, which I think was pretty progressive for its time. But now, today, I think it rings truer than ever. And it's such a testament to the kind of people I believe we want our students to develop into. And so with that, Kevin, you run CENTER, which is the Center for Character, Citizenship, and Community. Did I get that right?
You got that right.
Okay. And honestly, the amount you're involved in is completely mind-boggling. So I'm going to hand this off to you. And if you could, explain CENTER's mission and your role at Parker.
Okay. Well, I individually am the Director of Community Engagement, which means I direct what has traditionally been labeled as community service and also the internship program. I also moderate a few clubs that try to promote the ideas of citizenship and care for the community, things like National Honor Society and California Scholarship Federation. And I also moderate a club with Kristen Tedrow Harrison, our Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, called DICE. And we are trying to create opportunities for students to get involved in the community. So the center's goal is basically to gather together and start thinking about how can we honor the tradition of experiential learning that has existed at Parker for a long time. And what that means is opportunities that take students off campus primarily to learn about San Diego's assets and needs. And it also, what it aims to do is kind of create a culture of inclusion that Parker is really well known for, I think. You know, I think if students and parents walk on the campus, they'll notice that this is a very warm place to be. Mm-hmm. It's not just diverse, but it's also a very welcoming place. Kids will say hi to you. They care about the relationships with their teachers, and they care about the world in general. So that's what the center is trying to do, is trying to promote this idea of our mission state of making a meaningful difference in the world, but also letting the world have a meaningful impact on their lives so that they want to give back.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that's sort of unique and special, I know, you know, my experience from high school and working at different schools, it's usually 1 to 2 years of required service hours. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but we start with ninth grade that they have required hours all the way through 12th grade. They kind of gain a little bit more independence in whatever project they're passionate about, correct?
Right. I mean, we all know that the Parker student is very busy. On average, they do, and this is just what they document, 2 times the amount that is required. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the story of the Francis Parker student is they find time in their schedule, they carve it out, their parents carve it out. A great example is Mr. Trotter's social justice class, for example. I love highlighting his class because they're not just going out and doing and spending a night on the border, mm-hmm. Down in Hukumba and going on a hike along the border. They're talking to Border Patrol agents. They're working in the garden. They're donating foods to the Bayside Community Center. The issues, they're experiencing them, but they're also reflecting on them. So mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in the think, act, reflect. I want students to experiment with what they're interested in, maybe freshman year. And that's what a lot of students do. They work in a number of nonprofits, which is fine, 2 or 3 hours here or there. And then also I'm a big believer that through time you figure out what your strengths are so that you can give back in the way that best suits you.
Yeah.
Right, so that's just this morning, for example, you know, one of my advisees, Diego Foglio, was in my office. He said, can I do a reflection with you? Because I give students the opportunity to reflect mm-hmm. in person or to write an essay. And some will write an essay, but by and large, I get to listen to a lot of testimonials about what students do. And so Diego, who lives in Tijuana, was telling me about his efforts to do a little outreach for the different caravans of people that have ended up at the border. Mm-hmm. And so that's an example of a student that's part of an organization, LASSO, which is a Latin American student organization, a newly formed organization that has decided, I care about this part of my identity, and it's important to me to understand what's going on in the world, mm-hmm. and I want to do something close to home. So I'm going to spend 6 hours basically peeling oranges for those individuals in Tijuana that might be Native Mexican mm-hmm. citizens, but also might be from Central America needing a little help. And then at the same time, like Emily, he's doing a drive for socks mm-hmm. and underwear mm-hmm. at school. So that's what I kind of encourage students to do. We've always had a tradition. I inherited a great program from Carol Jensen. Mm-hmm. It was very philanthropic, and it was always doing things in the community, and there were a large number of hours kind of being donated, you could say, by our students to different organizations. And there was a lot of philanthropic work. But I see, as I've been here through the reflection process, the kids are really being affected personally by it. And they're wanting to do things that they connect to.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. What are, I love the border project that you mentioned with the social justice class. What are some of the other projects that you think some of our families might be interested in learning about?
Well, you know, I think I'm really proud of the last 3 summers that there's been close to 100 students that have signed up to give up a week of their summer to spend 6 hours a day going out and doing different service learning projects. So mm-hmm. I think that's created a lot of exposure for students. Mm-hmm. They've learned a lot about our homeless population. They've also toured the border and seen what's going on there. They've also even followed the path of our waste and gone up to EDCO, which is in kind of North County, and see a very sophisticated recycling program and seeing the consequences of their decisions and so forth and how the process works. So I'm always proud of the students that have been a part of the service learning, but I'm also proud of the students that are National Honor Society members, for example. I'm thinking of the Miller family, who's doing a Habitat for Humanity project, and they've kind of taken that on. I'm thinking of the students like the Hinnich family, who's created an immigrant resource center down at Bayside and been part of their resident youth leadership academy. I'm thinking of the number of students that have, during the summer, traveled abroad and given back to other communities outside the San Diego area. And I'm also just thinking of the student that works at Feeding San Diego, the student that goes down to Father Joe's Village, kids that are involved with Burrito Boys, for example. I'm thinking of the Britton family, who have put in tens upon tens of hours, you know, almost hundreds of hours to win that Presidential Service Award. It's almost embarrassing when I get up there at the end of the year and I have to announce all the students that have won the Presidential Service Award for 50 to 100 to 200 hours of community service, because I just go on and on. Mm-hmm. And so I can't really single out, out one or two, but I'm very proud of all the different efforts, the leaders that are out there, the Nusha Karatis that are working at San Diego Refugee Tutoring. I'm always impressed by students that do that. But I'm equally impressed by that freshman that has 3 hours done right now.
Yeah. It seems like the diversity of the projects kids are working on and the organizations that they're involved with sort of matches the diversity of our student body.
It totally does. And you know what? It matches. It matches the values that their families have preached to them. Yeah. There's a lot of philanthropic organizations that our parents support, like Teens Volunteer in Action or our National Charity League or MadCaps. And those students, for example, the Smith family, I'm thinking about Avalon's reflection on why she goes back to TRS, Therapeutic Recreation Services, and the bonds that she's made with people. It's really neat because in my opinion, what I get to witness is the important part of community engagement is about building relationships with maybe one or two people that you help at that camp, or that one end of that stranger you meet while giving a warm meal to. Or it could be with that organization that you develop maybe a lifelong bond with. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting. It's exciting getting an email from a family that wants to partner with the Jackie Robinson YMCA or the Copley Price YMCA. It's exciting to know that there's people on staff here that also care a lot about it. There's always people that are willing to jump on, and I've even taken faculty members out to go work at Serving Seniors, for example, and just serve a meal because it fills everybody's tank.
And so in addition to building those relationships you were talking about, what do you hope students gain or learn by becoming involved in these service projects?
You know, last year we had Father Greg Boyle come to our school, and he talked a lot about homeboy industries, and we've had a number of speakers come to this campus that have been amazing. But what he kind of pointed out was you can't turn on the light for someone. They have to turn it on for themselves. That many times through our community engagement work, you can come into someone's day and you can shine a flashlight on the light switch in a room, but they have to go and turn it on for themselves. We're not going out and necessarily changing the world. I mean, in some ways, community service can, if you think of it that way, or community engagement can be a little bit selfish in those ways because we're thinking about how it helps us. But really the important thing is to be as selfless as possible and to build those relationships, because really what Father Greg talked about in that kind of story was it's not about us going to help them, the marginalized. In an ideal world, there's just no us and them, because it's just us. We're just trying to help each other. And they might help us as much as we might help them. And that's the great thing about it, is if you don't go in there with a savior attitude and you just go in there from a kind of a level of wanting to learn more about yourself and others and appreciate not just the needs but the assets of a community like this area. I mean, we're so fortunate to be in Linda Vista. There's so much diversity, so much multicultural spirit and history to this neighborhood. I mean, we're very fortunate. So to me, it's just about helping students get out there, recognize what's going on in the world, empathize, and build those connections with people so that you can just go out and be one of the wider world and the wider community of San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was so nice getting to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
And have a wonderful holiday break with your family.
You too.